Now, the law is spiritual, remember. And I am carnal. Born again, I am carnal, sold under spiritual. I went completely blank white. Okay, I think I'm back now. I wanted to remind us all tonight that there are things in the scriptures that are obviously, we take one look at it and we say, that clearly does not apply anymore. And so I looked for a verse about pouring out blood on the altar. That verse is very, very precise. It says, see if I can find that verse again. Okay, it was in Deuteronomy. I know there are tons of verses about pouring blood, but this is the one that I wanted to just remind us that there are things in the Bible that obviously we don't pay any attention to other than that this is a spiritual picture of something, but certainly we wouldn't do this physically. Deuteronomy 12:27, thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, the flesh and the blood, upon the altar of the Lord thy God, and the blood of thy sacrifices shall be poured out upon the altar of the Lord thy God, and thou shalt eat the flesh. And we know that there are many, many, many people. I'm back. Sorry about that. Thank you for your patience. We know that there are people who have tried to adhere to the Old Testament, or first five books of the Bible. They're completely not aware that the Bible has moved on, essentially, from Deuteronomy 12:27. And I believe that J.R., you would agree that Deuteronomy 12:27 is a ceremonial law. Something we don't pay any attention to other than it's a spiritual, it's the Word of God, it's the Bible, but certainly we're not going to be doing that anytime soon. I just wanted to remind us that, not everything in the Bible is absolutely, to be adhered to, in our day today. Okay, so we're looking at verse 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now, as we said, the law speaks to those that are under the law. The law, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Then the next verse says, 1 Corinthians 14:35. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands or their men. The word husband there is really the word man. Let them ask their man at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, where is our home? Where is our home? If we are in our spiritual home, if we go to our spiritual home, where are we? And we could say we are in Christ, we are in New Jerusalem, we are in the Bible, we are in truth. There are many ways to answer that question. First Corinthians 11:34 says, "And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." Now this is talking about the assembling together in the churches, it appears. And I'm going to read a little bit of 1 Corinthians 11. I think you're going to see something interesting. Okay, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." And then the very first verse of 1 Corinthians 13, or actually that's 1 Corinthians 12. The very first verse of 1 Corinthians 12, which I believe is very significant to our study. "Now concerning spiritual," notice how the word gifts was added in. "Now concerning the spiritual, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Okay, now let me do a little exposition here. We know that we are not to attend church anymore. We know we are not to attend any kind of Lord's Supper, any kind of sacrament or ceremony of the Lord's Supper. And we know that when God is saying, let him eat at home, if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he doesn't really mean, sit down, make yourself a snack, and eat at home. He's saying, go to your spiritual home. Go to Christ. Go to New Jerusalem if you are hungry, that you come not together unto condemnation. It is true that back in ancient times, 1 Corinthians 11:34 could have been, looked at as, if someone is literally hungry, let him literally take his literal feet and go to his literal house and eat there. But we know that that is not what's in view now. If we're looking at that now, we know in light of what God is telling us that this is talking about the end of the church age. Okay? So if we go back to 1 Corinthians 14, and it says, "And if they will learn anything," that is the women, "if the women will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church." Now, my question to you is, in this verse, is the church our home? Think about it. I'd like an answer, too. Someone answer this question. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Is the church our home in that verse? No. No, it is not. This is talking about the corporate church. Now, we need to test that theory. Is there any place in the Bible that we can look at very quickly and say, okay, God does refer to the corporate church as in the church. The word church often is talking about the eternal church. But what about 1 Corinthians 11:18? For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Or what about this is the really obvious one, I would say. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. The church of the Laodiceans is not New Jerusalem. Therefore, in the church, in that verse, is the corporate church. Or at least I'm going to suppose that it is the corporate church. You see, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. So church basically means assembly, meeting, assembly. And in 1 Corinthians 14:35, for women to speak in the church, that's not the eternal church. That's not our home. If we want to learn something, we are to go and ask our husband at home. Our husband is Christ, of course. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. And now we're going to look at this word, a shame. We have three verses that use that phrase. And we're going to look at the other two real quick here. I appreciate everybody's patience. Almost done. Ephesians 5:12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And then we also have this verse here. And I'm not going to... I think this could probably take a whole nother study. This passage, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Without going intensely into that passage, because that passage in itself is difficult, it looks to me, and I think that I'm going to suppose this, that in 1 Corinthians 14:35, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Why? Because the women that are speaking in the church are speaking of the things which are done of them in secret. And it is a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven. The women in the church must not have their covering. And that fits right in with the idea of the end of the church age. It absolutely does. Okay, the next verse says, what? Came the word of God out from you? Or came it unto you only? Now, God is talking to the previous verse. He's talking to the women. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What? Came the word of God out from you? Or came it unto you only? You see how God is talking to the women who are speaking in the church. This is what God is speaking of. The women that are speaking in the church. And he's saying, the word of God did not come from you. The word of God did not come just to you. Speaking of the corporate church, I believe. Now we have a very, very interesting piece here. And I really think that over the past year, God has been preparing us to understand this kind of a concept. If any man think himself to be a prophet, all true believers are prophets, or spiritual, all true believers are spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What is the commandments of the Lord? Can anybody say? Can anybody tell me? What are the commandments of the Lord? Precepts, statutes, the whole Bible. The whole Bible. God is reminding us, this is the Word of God. This is not just some little lesson about speaking in tongues and women in churches. This is the whole Bible. Notice how God uses the word spiritual. Notice how God uses the word spiritual. This whole chapter is very, very spiritual. We're not going to look at all the verses that talk about the word spiritual, but I do want to focus in on a couple. We looked at Romans 7:14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And we also know 1 Corinthians 2:13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And we also looked at 1 Corinthians 3:1. 1 Corinthians 3:1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Okay, I just lost my place. Hold on 1 second. Okay. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? So you see how the opposite of spiritual is carnal. And as Joss was pointing out last night, to be carnally minded is death. Okay, now we want to go back to 1 Corinthians 14. Nearing the end of the chapter. And it says, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Ignorant of what? Ignorant of what? Well, what we're going to do is we're going to look at this word ignorant. If any man be ignorant, we have 21 verses, and specifically, we want to focus in on again, you'll notice that the word gifts, if you look at the, pretty sure that if you look at the concordance, the word gifts is not there. Let me just double check on that. Right, now concerning spiritual things, spiritual. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And then 1 Corinthians 14:38. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Ignorant of what? Ignorant of the spiritual. Ignorant of the spiritual. Ignorant of the Word of God. That the whole Bible is the commandments of God. And then it goes on to say, wherefore, now this is really the mystery. Why is God all of a sudden going to say this at the end? He's been talking about prophesying, he's been talking about coming with revelation, speaking in a tongue, and then he talks about women are not to speak in the church. And then he says, to end the chapter, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Isn't that unusual? That's the whole point of this chapter, essentially, is wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently, and in order. My feeling is that in light of the end of the church age, in light of the fact that we are now on the strong meat and not the milk, and in light of the fact that we're not in the church anymore, that we are to look at this as a spiritual lesson. We're to look at this as a spiritual lesson. In fact, the more that I look at this verse, the more it looks to me like if I look at that verse as what it appears on the surface, that I will be dumbing myself down. And I'm not absolutely convinced that that's correct, but I'm just saying that it seems that way. And as we were talking about last night, God is not going to expect us to lower our understanding of His Word. God is going to expect us to increase our understanding of His Word. I just don't know how I can look at that verse right there as a simple physical statement, because to me it's dripping with spiritual meaning, and I know that we're not to be in the churches at all anymore. We're not to be in the churches at all anymore, and therefore, it wouldn't make sense to do anything in the churches to me. Keep silence is only one. We shouldn't be doing anything in the churches today. We should be asking our husband, which is at home. We should be at home with our husband. Our husband is Christ. And we are covered. We're the woman that was covered. We're not shaven. We're not shorn. We don't have our interpreter taken away from us. So I find that this is all related. 1 Corinthians 11, 1 Corinthians 14, it's all related, and it appears to be speaking to us as spiritual. And I certainly would like to hear what Mr. Camping has to say about this issue of men and women speaking. But to be honest with you, and I'm still not 100% certain what exactly we're to do with all of this, and I hope that we're all going to continue to pray for wisdom. Just look at 1 Corinthians 14:37 again. 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. It's the Word of God. It's the Bible. This is spiritual. So that's pretty much all that I have for you tonight. And did we ask more questions by answering some of the first questions? Probably. And I definitely think we need to continue to pray for wisdom. My recommendation is that we don't do anything rash as far as changing what we have been doing for the past year now. I think that what we've been doing for the past year, none of us have had any, real problems until just recently we've been considering it. But for the past year, we've all been very, very confident that what we've been doing has been God glorifying. Hey, Nate, I see your hand is up. And at this point, I'd like to thank everybody for giving me your attention. And continue to pray for wisdom. We just can't ask the Lord for wisdom enough. Okay, Nate says, however, I also find it interesting that here it does not mention churches, but points back to Adam and Eve. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam is first formed, then Eve. And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? All right, the only thing about 1 Timothy, we were looking at this last night, and the thing about 1 Timothy that jumped out right away, looking at this very, very closely, looking for something that might, you know, jump out and give us some kind of an indication of what's going on here, is this verse right here. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I never pray with my hands up. Never. I see people do it on television. I've never lifted up my hands when I pray, and I don't expect to start anytime soon, because I really think that God is speaking spiritually when he says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I see lifting up hands as meaning our will, and that we're to have clean hands spiritually, not physically. Remember the Pharisees, they actually wanted their physical hands to be clean, but they didn't care about their spiritual hands. Lifting up holy hands. And then it says, okay, and then it says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now, I suppose that will be the next thing that we're going to really need to focus in on is that a spiritual statement? Is that a physical statement? Is that both? As David pointed out, we know that Babylon is covered with broided hair, gold, pearls, and costly array. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Honestly, when I see that, I see God saying, let my eternal church learn with all subjection to my word. But is there a physical individual meaning there? Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection? That's a good question. But again, I just want to remind you that if we're going to do that physically, individually, and, you know, right on the surface, then I'm in violation every time I pray, because I never lift up my hands. And that verse says right there, and I don't know if you lift up your hands when you pray, but if you're going to say that is physical, individual woman, 1 Timothy 2:11, then we had all better start praying with lifting up our hands, because I don't see how you could take one and not the other. I think we'd have to take both. If we're going to say that that's a physical, literal woman, and she is to learn in silence, then I think that we've all got to start lifting up our hands. And I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should be lifting up my hands when I pray. But see, I would say that's carnal. You know, that if we're talking about our physical hands, to me that's carnal. I don't think God cares where my hands are when I'm praying. I think that it's more, where is my heart? Where is my mind? Where is my will? And then also, likewise, this verse. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Well, that basically is saying then that if a woman has a baby, that she's going to be saved. Sure looks that way. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. So, essentially then, if women give birth to children, they will be saved. And so basically that's like rewriting the whole salvation plan of God. So I don't know. I think that that's the next passage that we need to really look at, maybe the whole entire chapter from beginning to end of 1 Timothy chapter 2. I've really been focusing in just on 1 Corinthians 14 today and this evening. Perhaps we need to, you know, really dissect 1 Timothy chapter 2 and go from verse 1 all the way to the end and see exactly what that verse is saying. But I'm not prepared to talk about that any more than what I just said. And I saw a whole bunch of hands go up before, so I'm going to turn the mic back over to the rest of anybody who would like to put in their comments. And thank you, everybody. I really appreciate everybody giving me your patience and your attention. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, amen. Thank you, John. All right. Does anyone else have anything to add to this? Anybody has any questions or comments or concerns? Maybe any other verses to take a look at or something? Now is the time to bring that up.